Great to be with you this Sunday. John Toms has been after me a number of times, but I haven't been able to get here in the past, but we were able to sneak this one in, John, were we? For those who don't know me, yes, I do work for Ministry and Mission for the Presbyterian Church across the state, supporting pastoral health for both ministers and congregations generally. But before that, I was at Evans Head on the far north coast of New South Wales for 22 years. Does anyone know where Evans Head is? Steve and Naomi do, because they used to come up and visit us. Kevin May do, he travels. It's about 30-odd minutes below Ballina. People know where Byron Bay is, about 50 minutes below that on the far north coast of New South Wales. We spent 22 years there. Loved what God did amongst the people there. I've been here now in Sydney for 5 years working for Ministry Mission. I'm married to Karina. I have four children. They're all married. And I have three grandchildren and one in the next couple of weeks about to join us. So four grandchildren very shortly, so really looking forward to that. We've been through a pretty tough time recently. My wife's mother died 2 weeks ago. We've just come back from being in Launceston for Tasmania just on Thursday. So I was at one point in time not even sure whether I'd be able to be here for today, but thankfully we're here. How about I pray, and then let's look at God's word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for you. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us, that you've saved us, that you are transforming us to become more like Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we spend time in your word, that you'll open our hearts to hear your word, and your spirit will transform and change us to be more like Jesus because of what we've heard this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We can whack the PowerPoint up. It'd be great. Maybe. If you were to read Hebrews, you'd almost, if you wanted to have one thing that talked about Hebrews, if you want to give it one big overview, it would be that Jesus is better than anything and anyone. We're going to jump into Hebrews chapter 3. So just keep that in mind because we're going to be thinking more about that as we go through. But we're jumping right into the third chapter. So you've missed the first couple of chapters. So we'll touch on those a little bit later. I don't know about you, but... Are we working? Is that flashing for a reason? Not. Don't you love technology? Let's try again. Excellent. We're underway. Thank you. I don't know about you, but the last 3 or 4 years, I've found it like quite mixed emotions about it. I've felt quite uneasy over the last 3 or 4 years. For me, after leaving the North Coast and coming to Sydney, that was a big thing. And then the North Coast had floods. We had fires. We've had COVID. We've had a referendum. We've had an election. We've had wars in the Ukraine. We've got wars in Gaza now. I don't know about you, but I just feel quite uneasy about the world. And then we think about how it is to live for Jesus in this world, and particularly in Australia, where you and I are, things are changing, aren't they? So a question I've got for us this morning to think about is, how are you feeling about Jesus today? In amongst all that is going on, that's what's happening in the world, that's what's happening around us, but then there's also what's happening within us. As I just mentioned, we've had the last 2 weeks with my family have been very, very tough and very, very emotional. There's been moments when I've felt really quite out of it and uneasy and not sure what's going on and just wondering where God's in all of this. What's God doing? I'm feeling quite uneasy just about the whole of life and what's happening. How am I going with Jesus in the middle of this? How are you going with Jesus in the middle of this? Well, the writer to the Hebrews is speaking into that very situation. As much as we know about the writer of the Hebrews, we think maybe he's preaching, maybe this is a sermon that's been put together. He's speaking to a group of people who are feeling uneasy about what it is to follow Jesus in the world that they live in. They may not have exactly the same situation as us, but they are being challenged. They are being challenged to think about how do they live for Jesus in this world that doesn't look like it should be. They're being challenged to actually go back to something that was before rather than move forward with Jesus. And so the Hebrews we're going to step into, chapter 3, speaks directly to that. I think it's a great passage for us all to be looking at today. I don't know what's going on for you in your life. I don't know what's going on for you at the moment. Some of you might be travelling really well with Jesus at the moment. Some of you might be feeling really strong. Others of you might be feeling just a little bit uneasy. Some of you might be thinking it's really hard to stick and hold on to Jesus at the moment. Well, we're going to have a look at Hebrews chapter 3 together and have a look and have a listen as Aishis gets up and reads for us. The number of times the writer talks about holding on, about not giving up, about sticking to it, about not hardening your heart, about following Jesus. So Aishis, he's going to get up and read for us. It's going to be on the screen if you've got it in your Bibles as well. Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to be looking through verses 1 to 19.
Today's Bible reading is from Hebrews chapter 3. It can be found on page 969 in the English Pew Bibles and page 1318 in the Chinese Bible. Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. This is the word of God. Amen.
Thanks, Aishis. Did you notice some of those parts in the passage there where he was talking about holding on and sticking to it? We're going to jump through here because the Bible reading was on there as well. And the first one was in verse 6. Did we notice that? But Christ is faithful, the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence in hope, which we glory. And then again, look in verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Don't turn away from God. Don't harden it. And verse 15 as well. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Or again, in verse 12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And then down into the bottom of verse 13, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. You see, the writer, the preacher, knows that following Jesus is not always going to be easy. There are going to be times when it's tough. There are going to be times when we doubt. There are going to be times when we want to actually leave it and go back to something other, to what we were doing before. And so in Hebrews chapter 3, he gives us and he encourages us to hold on, to stick with it, to not give up, to not harden our hearts, to stay with Jesus. And the first way that he says to do that for us is that we are to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Do you see that in the very first verse? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. I heard a great saying once that said this: fix your thoughts on Jesus and Jesus will fix your thoughts. It's a great little saying, isn't it? Fix your thoughts on Jesus because Jesus will fix your thoughts. You know, so often we think if we can just concentrate on a whole lot of other stuff and read all this other stuff but not spend much time with Jesus, how do we think Jesus is going to change us? Jesus wants to change our minds. In Romans 12 verse 1 says that we are meant to be transformed by our minds. We need to work on this because this works out in here and works out in our hands. But we are to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Because you see, Jesus, as we find out earlier in this passage that in chapters 1 to 2, is that Jesus is better than anything and anyone, so don't fix your thoughts on anything other than him. Because Jesus is beautiful and wonderful. How many of you have read C.S. Lewis's The Narnia Tales? If you haven't, shame on you. Great books to be reading, the Narnia Tales. And in one of the Prince Caspian, there's a great quote that has really grabbed me many times, and I keep coming back to it. Lucy, if you know, there's a book before called The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and then there's Prince Caspian is the second one. And in the second one, the first time that Lucy, one of the little girls, meets Aslan, who is the lion, who is the Jesus figure in the book, she comes up to him and she says this: Aslan, said Lucy, you're bigger. That is because you are older, little one, answered he. Not because you are? I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger. Every year you grow, you will find me bigger. You see, the more we fix our thoughts on Jesus, the bigger and the better and the more beautiful that he is. That is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Often the older we get, the things that we used to know get smaller. I was in Bridport the other day in Launceston. There was a rock that we used to jump off when I was a kid, and we used to think it was huge. It was called Elephant Rock. It looks more like a stepping stone today because I got bigger. But with Jesus, the more we get to know him, the more we understand him, the bigger he becomes. That's why we ought to fix our thoughts on him. You see, the verse starts with the therefore, doesn't it? And whenever there's a therefore, we've got to ask it why it's therefore. Well, what it's doing is it's summarising, it's bringing us back to what has just been said in chapters 1 to 2. And as I said, chapters 1 to 2 are really saying to us that Jesus is bigger and better than anything and anyone. If you read back through chapters 1 and 2, which I can encourage you to do at another time, you'll see that Jesus is better, the better word. He's the better sacrifice. He's the better priest. He's the better saviour. He's better than anything that has gone before him. So don't go back there. Don't leave him. Hold on to Jesus. And the writer says, don't even go back to Moses. Hold on to Jesus. Look at what he says in those first few verses, doesn't he? Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of the house is greater honour than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is the faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Now, as we heard in the children's talk, Moses is an important figure. He's not putting it down. He's important. But he is important in that he points to Jesus. Jesus is far better than Moses, than anyone and anything. He is a picture that's pointing towards something greater. Does anyone know where these photos are, where these pictures are? Oh, that's different. Sorry. It's handy if I swipe this one, doesn't it? When you're doing two things at once, we can't do that, can we? I'm swiping on the screen and then swiping on. Let me get you down there. Anyone know where these pictures are? Yeah, you can yell it out. I'm in for interaction. Anyone know where they are? Northern Territory, absolutely. The first one is from the jumping tour, croc jumping tour. Second one is Florence Falls, and the third one is a picture across the wetlands of Kakadu. We got the privilege of spending 6 weeks up there last year, and you can see the photos, can't you? And they are quite stunning, but they pale into insignificance to the reality. Me seeing these pictures, they really just point to something that I've seen that's real, and they are amazing. They are stunning. To be that close to a crocodile is both awesome and scary and brilliant at the same time. But the pictures point us towards something better, don't they? And that's what we're doing here with Moses. He's a picture to something better, to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who actually goes to the cross for us. Jesus is the one that steps into this messy world, into our messy lives, deals with our mess and our sin, and walks with us in it, and transforms us and changes us and makes us more and more like him. He deals with our sin. He brings us into relationship with God, and he walks with us in that. What a wonderful Saviour. He is bigger and better than anything and anyone. So don't go back. But hold on to him. That's what the writer's saying. Hold on to Jesus. And how can we do that? How can we do that? Well, what we can do is we can learn from the Israelites. When you read the Bible, you not always read the Bible and do exactly what people are doing in there, because often they're a picture of what not to do. And so what we have here is a picture of the Israelites and how they started and what they did, but it's not what they did we want to emulate, it's the opposite to that. We want to learn from the Israelites and do it the opposite to them. Look what they did. This is from Psalm 95, verse 7, it says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And he goes on, he says that again. He said there, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. Psalm 95 is a psalm of worship, but it's a psalm of remembrance of what not to do. Don't forget God. Don't forget the things that he's done. Don't forget Jesus. You see, the Israelites, after they got out from Egypt, they started well. But then they hardened their hearts. They forgot Jesus. And in the passage it says that they ended up not going to enter into God's rest because of that. They started well, but they turned away. They had a heart problem. It wasn't that they weren't walking the right way, but their heart has a problem. Their heart was turning away from the living God, turning away from the one who saved them, turning back. They even wanted to go back to Egypt at one stage, didn't they? Why go back there? But their attention was taken from them and turned away from the living God. And well, I think we need to remember that too in the day that we're in, don't we? We remember that our attention wants to get dragged away from Jesus. Constantly wanting to be dragged away from Jesus. That's why the Rose says, fix your thoughts on Jesus first and foremost. Keep your attention on him. Keep your heart turned towards him. Don't turn away from him. Stick with Jesus. Hold on to him. And that's hard in the world that we're in, isn't it? You see, we live in what we call an attention economy. Do you know that every time you open up your phone, every time you're on social media, that people are harvesting that information to sell you stuff? Everything that is on social media, everything that is on the television, everything that is even in the newspaper are wanting to get your attention, wanting to take your attention and keep your attention. Your attention is worth money. There actually is a thing called the attention economy. People pay big money to keep your attention. I read a book by a guy called Johan Hari called Stolen Focus. If you ever get a chance to read it, he's not a Christian guy, but he just delves into how everything around us is wanting to grab your attention. And when it's got your attention, then it wants to sell you something or take you somewhere or convince you of something or keep you on the screen generally. So we're in an attention economy, and our attention is worth money, and so our attention needs to be turned more and more back to Jesus. Otherwise, we will harden our hearts and turn away and move away from him. And so this is something that I've read from somewhere. It's not mine. Very few things that are good are mine. But this is a great little thing. It's called ADDWW. It's not a condition on the spectrum or anything like that. But it's a great thing that I've heard and I've read that helps me to think about where is my attention? Where is my attention going? A guy called John Mark Comer says, where your attention goes is where your heart goes. Where your attention goes is where your heart goes. So ADD, attention develops devotion, wonder and worship. Attention develops devotion, wonder, and worship. You think about any relationship that you have. If you don't give it attention, it goes dry and it dies. Same with our relationship with Jesus. If we are to fix our thoughts in him, if we're not to turn our hearts away from him, then our attention needs to be given to him. And there's so many other things out there wanting your attention. It's a battleground. So how can we do that? How can we give our attention to Jesus? Well, we can learn from the Israelites because they were the ones that showed us how not to do it. Firstly, we can see, here's an example, ADDWW. Well, firstly, we want to hear the word. Verse 7 says to us, hear the word, but they didn't. They didn't want to hear the word. We need to hear the word. We need to find spaces and places where we hear God's word. We'll talk about this a bit more corporately later, but individually, how much time are you spending hearing God's word? Reading it for yourself, listening to it. Think about that in regards to your week. How much attention are you giving to God's word? Believe the word. Verse 16, the Israelites decided not to trust the word. They gave up on it. But we're encouraged to believe it as we hear it, to believe it. And then we are to obey it. Verses 7 to 12. That we obey God's word. It's all well and truly to hear it, isn't it? You can even memorise it, but if we don't live it, then it's just all head knowledge, isn't it? The Bible tells us it's got to go from our head to our heart to our hands. It needs to work out, and that's the last one. We need to share the word. We need to take what we've heard and share it with those around us as well. Here's a quote, supposedly by Eleanor Roosevelt. Learn from the mistakes of others because you cannot live long enough to make them all yourself. The Israelites here, the writer, the preacher of the Hebrews, gives the example of Israelites so that we don't do it. So we don't go down that same path. So that we do turn our attention to Jesus. That we turn our attention to him and we grow in our wonder and our worship of him. And the other thing that we're going to find out from this passage is it's not just an individual thing, but this is actually a community project. This is something that we do together. Have a look at verse 13. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This is something that we are to do together. This is a community project. This is something that you, together as Hurstville Prezi, is one of your main aims, your main game, is to encourage one another to hold on to Jesus. That you encourage one another to stick with Jesus. To encourage one another to set our attention on Jesus. And not just here yourselves, but also those who don't know Jesus yet. Is to point people to Jesus. Encourage those who do know Jesus now to grow in their love for Jesus. To encourage those who don't know Jesus to consider Jesus. And it's a thing we do together. We're not lone rangers in this. The lone ranger wasn't by himself either. He had Tonto and he had his dog, his horse as well, Silver, those who remember that, the lone ranger reference. But we are not to be that. We are to do things together. This is a corporate thing. So you here together at Hurstville Prezi, let me encourage you to encourage one another to turn your attention to Jesus. To encourage those who don't know Jesus to consider Jesus. Let me encourage you in a couple of ways that you can do this. And the first one is I want to encourage you to be praying for and with each other. Praying for and with each other. And take every opportunity that you have to pray with each other. It doesn't just have to be at a set time. It can be at any time. Someone said you can pray to God at any time, about anything, anywhere. And you can do that together. At morning tea, you're chatting to somebody, you're hearing about their life and what's going on. Pray with them. It's good to say I'll pray for you later. How about you pray with them now? One of the things that we did in Evans Head was when we took this seriously, we decided that we would do that wherever we are. Even if we were down the street, we would do that in the shopping centre, we'd do that down the middle of the street, we'd do that on the beach, we'd do it wherever we were. We decided that if we're talking to somebody and we're hearing their story and we feel that we should be praying with them, that we do it now. And offer to those who don't know Jesus to pray for them. One of the things that's really hard to talk about Jesus, isn't it, with people on the street these days, or your friends sometimes, not many people like you to get into that discussion. Sometimes they will, But very few people will say, can I pray for you about that, that they'll say no. Up to you to work out whether you do it then or whether you do it later. But you can help people to come to know Jesus by encouraging them to say that I'll pray for you. And love people out of that. Love people in the way that you speak to them. Think about how you can love one another well. Speak to people, encourage people. Think about today, who can you deliberately and intentionally encourage them to grow in their love for Jesus, or someone who you know who doesn't know Jesus to help them to consider Jesus? Take a moment now to think of someone. Take a moment to get a name. Ask God to open up the door for you to be able to do that. Hold on to Jesus, everyone, because he is better than anything and anyone. Hold on to him. Give him your attention. Fix your thoughts on him. ADDWW, attention develops devotion, worship and wonder. Encourage one another in their love for Jesus or to consider Jesus. Hold on to him. How are you feeling about Jesus now? You may not have be any different to when we started our talk today, but you might be. Let me encourage you to go home and reread Hebrews chapter 3. Ask God to speak to you through his word, by his spirit, to encourage you to hold on. Hold on to Jesus. Because you see, in this passage, three times it says, today, today, today. This is not a tomorrow thing. This is not when I get round to a thing. This is not possibly in the future thing. This is today. Let me encourage you today to hold on to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Jesus. He is better than anything and anyone, Lord, and deserves our full attention, our full focus, our whole lives. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will do a work within us, that our lives will be turned to him. Pray that we may encourage one another, Lord, to hold on to Jesus, to grow in our love for him. We pray, Father, that you'll do a mighty work within us, to be people that do that today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.